Rabbi Weiner is a much sought after speaker. We have already enjoyed hearing from him this Shabbos, and therefore it's my pleasure to introduce Rabbi Weiner to begin our talks this evening.
I hope the other Chasheva Rabbanim had as good a time here as I had in Dunwoody. The only thing I'm very short of right now is sleep, because Shabbos over there, you never really get a break. The davening goes into the meal, and the meal goes into a shir, and then there's another shir, and then there's another meal, and then there's another davening. And then we met Abdullah, and then I was whisked away and brought here. So obviously, the concept of non-stop Torah and Chizuk is something that's valuable here all year round. And whatever we can add, we hope to add, but I have a feeling that I'm walking away with more Chizuk than I've received. That I'm trying to give, actually, and it's something that is inspirational. It's inspirational to see people growing. It's inspirational to see people who have grown don't stop there and give it over to others. And tonight's topic, although it's a very sensitive one, we're going to assume that since it's such a happening place in terms of growth and people who want to continue this growth, that whatever is said won't sound too extreme, and it won't be, because I know the other two Chasheva Rabbanim for many years, and I don't think I'm an extremist either. And whatever might sound extreme is actually very, very necessary and overdue. I'd like to begin with last summer's shiur that I gave in Brooklyn. I gave this shiur probably 7 or 8 times in the New York area about family security and dangerous things in the house. That cover on the CD was made up by my graphic artist, so I don't take responsibility, but it certainly is catchy. And the topic is how to prevent disasters in the house and in the office and other places. I was giving this shiur in Flatbush, and it was the summer night. Hakel had organized the shiur, and there were approximately 300 people in the room. We're talking about serious, from young, middle-aged professionals who one would think know what's going on in the world. And I said the shiur, which I'm just going to condense to about 15 minutes now. The shiur was about an hour and a quarter. And after the shiur, I was there for about an hour and a half. And people came over to me, and I know all these people. I've spoken to them many times before. I've been Flatbush for 10 years. And they said, you know, we have to do something about this, and this is terrible. And I asked them, I don't understand. In Brooklyn alone, they had a kinus, 2,000 people, or Matisyahu came and spoke. And they had a kinus in Lakewood, and they had a kinus all over the place. What did I say that struck you as new? What is there possibly to say about the internet that you didn't know about? And they gave me an insight. That's why feedback is important. They said, yes, we know internet is very dangerous, although we weren't really sure how dangerous until we heard some of the remarks and some of the cases. But we've heard of cases before. So the Chiddush, what surprised them about my remarks, and they are a little controversial. Matter of fact, they're controversial to me. I don't like saying them. But I'm going to say it anyway, because I said it there, and it's on the CD. And whatever you hear now, I want everybody, it's free. And it doesn't burn the hands, take it home. The only price on it is, as soon as you finish listening to it, you pass it on to somebody else. That's the only request of the sponsor. And they told me that you were the first one that I heard actually admit or concede that in most homes and probably all offices, the internet is here to stay, and you suggested how to curb the influence and how to stop the damage. Now, a disclaimer in order is that if you don't have it in your house, don't get it based on what I say here tonight. If you can get rid of it, get rid of it, and if you don't have it, don't get it. Dangerous is not the word. My remarks are aimed at people who have it already, claiming that they need it. The claim is not always true. Convenient, yes. Very convenient, extremely convenient, yes. Absolutely necessary, not always. And I recognize there are people who really need it for business, in their office and sometimes at home. And then there are people who don't really need it, but let's face it, they're not getting rid of it. Not if a rabbi from Muncie comes, and not a rabbi from the five towns, and not a rabbi from Detroit. Now, by the way, everything I say might be contradicted by Rabbi Reisman when he gets up, and Rabbi Margaretin, but we didn't discuss this beforehand. So, certainly keep in tune to the fact that this is a tremendous, tremendous bidyeved. If you don't need it, and you absolutely don't need it, try to be honest with yourself and get rid of it. Or certainly don't bring it in. Problem is that talking about computers at home and talking about computers in the office is almost passe because everybody has a BlackBerry with full internet connection. So whatever you do at home, if you don't fix all the problems, then you come home, you put it down on the table, and your child picks it up. And the rest is history. Is this too loud? Oh, thank you. So what happened after this year during our discussions is one balabas came to me and he said, you know, we really have to get the message out. So I said, what do you suggest? He said, I suggest that we make thousands of copies and drop it from a helicopter. So I said, okay, that's an interesting idea. I gave the shiur then. I always edit my shiur on my computer before I release them, especially for massive distribution. So 3 months later, I called him back. And I said, Rabbi Weiner, I remember your remark. Why don't we start with 5,000 of them? So he said, okay, how much does it cost? Actually, they cost $1.25. We made 4,000. I said, why don't you send me a $5,000 check, and then we'll start with this small amount, and after one helicopter drop, we'll call you for more, and then we'll deal with it. He sent me a check. I got a check a day later. This person understood that, and I, again, for those of you, some of you know me, if you've never heard me before, just take my word for it. I'm not a kanoi, and I don't exaggerate. This is the single biggest problem we face as a community today. There is nothing that's bigger. This segues into every other problem we have, and it takes the problems we have already and exasperates them, and it's not going away. We wish it to go away, we will it to go away, we daven it should go away, and it's not going away. And what amazed me is, I'm talking in Brooklyn, at a Muncie, to very reasonable, knowledgeable people, very firm people. And you would think they've heard it 100 times before. And I told them, the basic message was, that if you are going to keep it in your house, if you have it in your office, you need 2 things. And without these 2 things, there's no way anybody's going to survive the experience. Somebody's going to fall in, it's probably more than one person. The husband, the wife, the kids, visitors, employees. Those 2 things are a filter. Not all filters are created equal. A very good filter on the back of that CD cover. And everybody please walk out with one. There is an entire list of suggested filters. Not an exhaustive list. There are many good ones that I didn't include. These are the ones I actually checked out myself. Filter blocks, on a good day, 90% of the schmutz. Nothing blocks 100%. After the filter, you need an accountability program. Which means, basically like a charusa, you need somebody you trust, you fear, and you'd be terribly embarrassed in front of if they saw what you were looking at. And that person gets an email. Some programs have every day, others have once a week. Nobody has less than once a week. The best one on the market, eBlaster, has once an hour. These are created by Goyim. Recognize the problem. Chachma b'Goyim Taimin. Once an hour. I called eBlaster. I have it myself. I said, I can't get an email every hour. I don't have the time for it. Can you make it once a week? They said, the longest time period we have is a day. And a day? I said, not a week. So he said, Rabbi, if you know what problems are going on out there, you would ask for every minute. This is the guy in South Carolina who's telling me this. So you have programs that tell you what's going on. Remember that the filter doesn't knock out everything, and there are many things that are not filtered because the filter is not set correctly, and things get by, and you have to know at any given moment what your children might be looking at, what your husband might be looking at, and what your wife might be looking at. The numbers, women are not exempt from it to her, but the numbers suggest that the biggest avera many women are doing is shopping. Which many husbands have asked me for very strong filters that knock out most of the department stores. That's not the way they work. But I will tell you, the most of the shopping sites have pretty priests take pictures on them. Men should not be around there, and then boys should not be around there, and it's not too healthy for the women either. No one is exempt from these problems. No one can claim they trust themselves. Rav Matisyahu, one of the earlier gatherings, said it best. He said, if Chazal were around today, they'd make a takana, they would have a prohibition of yichud with your computer. He's 1,000% right. It's the best line, but it's the most accurate. For anybody from Klal Yisrael to be sitting in front of a computer in a room, and the door is closed, and there's no filter and accountability program, they are doing something wrong. I'd just like to add a small little chiddush to Rav Matisyahu. Rav Matisyahu is the mashkiach of Likud Yeshiva, as you probably know. And that is that he said if Chazal were around, they would make this gezeira of Yisud. I think that they're not around now, and it's included in the gezeira. It's not officially the Yisud Dereisa. But it's certainly prohibited to be in a room and put yourself in a matzah. We daven every morning, Hashem help us, don't bring us to a test, don't bring us to Nisayan. And then we walk into a room with a computer. I will tell you, I had a managing partner in a law firm in Manhattan who is a Talmud of mine, and he once told me that he's thinking of getting a filter. This is about a year after I mentioned it, but people are slow to do this because they don't want people watching and they're afraid it's going to mess up the computer. If you don't know what you're doing, it can. That's why you have to have... it's not difficult to download. Download is 1, 2, 3. You just have to know it works. You have to know how to set it. It's not that complicated. And during the course of the conversation, it came up that he didn't have a filter system in the office on all the computers. I said, what are you thinking? He said, what's the problem? I said, first of all, it's with Iver. You're the boss, and you have a computer in every single room. You have 35, 40 employees, and they can do whatever they want. Whatever they wouldn't do at home, they don't have to filter them, they can do in the office. He said, that's my responsibility. I said, it sure is. You're the boss of the company. You own the company, of course it's your responsibility. And not only that, but it's a tremendous waste of time and a waste of your resources. So he finally put it on. He called me back a week later. He says, I don't know how to thank you. I said, what happened? He said, I fired 4 people already. I said, what did you find? He says, forget the schmutz and the pritzes. He says, people spend hours online on my dime. A boss that would not want to have an accountability program and a filter on his system is not a good businessman. Forget, you don't have to be frum to understand that. But it's your responsibility. If you're running a home and they're your computers, it's your responsibility. You are causing them to sin if you don't fix this up. And if it's in your office, it's your responsibility. And if you're not running the office, you have to call HR, you have to call the computer department, both of them, because all departments have to agree that you're going to do something, some change to the computer, and ask them if you can put a filter on yours. And often, if you say it the correct way, you can convince the CEO that he needs this for his bottom line. I told a fellow who tried this, and they weren't cooperating with him, and he had a difficult test with this, he was struggling with this. I told him he can't stay at his job. I told him, you have a good resume, get a different job. And he left. And he went to a Heimisha office, and his new boss cooperated with me. I told him exactly what to do. He said, I can't... he's a guy, he's going to Daf Yomi. He has a family. And he stays late in the office, and he tells everybody else he's staying late because he's got a client, and that's not why he was staying late. It happens all the time. Chazal have an expression for this. It's called Ein Apotropos L'Arayos. Arayos doesn't have to be real people. It means that you can't be trusted with things like this. And this has nothing to do with from, not to from, modern, less than modern, becoming from. It's called human. And I tell the men that if you put in a filter and you put in an accountability program and you keep the password, you have accomplished nothing. You give the password to your wife. And if you're worried about her shopping, you give the password to your rabbi. And if you ever have to make a change in settings, so you call him. Who do you put on for the reporting? So again, it could be a close friend who you'd be embarrassed in front of. Often the rabbi works very well. I get every single morning tens of email reports. It takes me about 3 seconds to go through each one because they flag it for you. It's a red category. One has review suggested, strong review suggested, or a report looks good. That makes my morning, although I don't get as many of those as I'd like. And these people would be mortified if I see what they're looking at. And I assured them, I don't care where your wife is shopping. If she wants Saks Avenue and she wants to spend the money, it's fine with me. It gives you a whole list. I don't really care. I'm just looking at the flagged categories. But it worked. And the few people I called up, and I sort of gave it to them over the head. And they said, you know, it's very comforting. I didn't really think you were looking. And it never happened again. There is no other way to do this. There is no shortcut. There's no other way to do this aside from getting rid of it.
Let me tell you, the technology grows very quickly, and mothers complain to me that their husband still carries a BlackBerry. All the computers in the house are filtered with an accountability program. The BlackBerry is free. Free reign, do whatever you want. BlackBerries today have full internet. It's a smaller screen, but it's the same thing. Regular Google search. And I told them the good news just about 3-4 months ago. JNet came out with a filter for the BlackBerry. And every time they come out with something else, the filter programs, whether they be Geisha filter programs or Jewish filter programs, Jewish ones are really based on the Geisha ones, they know what they're doing, and they will catch up. You have to be up on the technology. And if you're not, call somebody who understands this. The Rabbanim and the Ma'alim in the room, I assume, know everything that I'm saying, and also understand, I don't believe in a place like Atlanta you would even attempt to have the parents sign that they don't have internet in their house before they come to yeshiva. Is that a correct assumption? What? You don't have such a thing. Okay. That's what... Okay. And that was my assumption. Okay. So let's work with the all probability that almost every person has it in their house, if not every person, and they probably have 7 connections and 14 wireless. So it is absolutely impossible to imagine that you take any teenager, certainly a male teenager, I've had many stories with females also, and have them in the house and leave the house for more than a minute or two, which means that whoever here doesn't have a filter in their house never goes to any simchus and never goes out of the house, which is a little cumbersome. I had a bracha come to me. I remember 2 years ago, I was walking home from Landau's in Flatbush. I'm walking down Ocean Parkway, I hear footsteps in back of me, kids running after me, I turn around, what can I do for you? This is 11:30 at night. He says, I have to come talk to you, when do you have time? I said, call me next week. He says, I need something in the next 10 minutes. So I said, okay, come walk me home. He came into my study, sat down and broke down crying for a half hour. I couldn't hear a word he was saying. 17-year-old Bocher. The story was, and this is a story I've heard 50 times, 60 times, he was one of the best boys in his class. His parents went away for a long weekend to a very, very wonderful environment of chizuk, a convention of sorts. I'll let you figure out where it was. I was there with them. And he had some friends over, and they have a computer in the house with internet that's not filtered, and there's no accountability, nothing. I don't know where they came from, what planet they landed from. Like, what? This is like old news. Like, there are front people around who don't realize you don't leave a kid in the house or an adult, especially a teenager, with this stuff around. Suffice it to say that the Rebbe noticed after Thanksgiving that for 3 or 4 weeks afterwards he wasn't following a line in Gemara and he failed every single test. The Rebbe finally called him over and said, what happened to you? You were the best kid in the class. And he broke down and he told his Rebbe. And he came to me 8-9 months later, he's still having issues. This could have been prevented pretty easily. Just that they don't know what's flying. For sophisticated film professionals, they don't know what's flying in the world. And this balabas, who handed me $5,000, and I plan on going back to him for another 20, because I've already handed out. We just made the production. I sent 1,000 to the Good Convention. I sent another 1,000 to the Good Midwest. And every time I speak, I drop 200-300. People have to know that this is not a problem you can think about getting to sometime in the next few months. This is an immediate danger. I can't tell you how many divorces I've dealt with, how many people were caught doing things they shouldn't be doing, how many lives were ruined, how many kids were ruined. We're talking about, especially in the head of a boy, we have a budding Ben Taira. He's a guy who can, you know, be something. He can learn well. He wants to learn well. He wants to become a Talmid Chacham. She wants to marry a Ben Taira. Fill their mind with trash like this. I'm not even getting into the tremendous, tremendous waste of time, even if you're looking at everything kosher. Just thinking, you look up one thing, I'm just going shopping, I just have to buy something, and then 3 hours later, you're still surfing. It's a whole different lifestyle. People just get lost. You never see anybody anymore. They're up to all hours of the night, and then they don't get up in the morning, and they certainly can't learn in the morning. And it's creating our ability to accomplish things because they're so busy saving money shopping online. And the husband's telling me, my wife is saving so much money, I'm going broke. Again, this is not against the women. The husbands have their own gates of hearts of shopping. It's nothing to do. The women happen to shop more because they're in charge of the shopping. The husbands think they're spending more. But I've seen men, guys tell me that they're up. They were just looking for a tie, and they were looking for some shoes, and they wanted to save $20, and they got lost for 3 hours. I'm not talking about anything was done wrong. It's just a waste of a life. And if you have an accountability program, I have called people up, and as soon as I call people up, the first sentence is, I saw your report this morning, and they say, uh-oh. And they start thinking, I didn't look at anything wrong. I said, you didn't look at anything wrong, but you wasted 2 hours last night and you weren't at night Seder or Shir in the shul. And at my shul, if you don't come to night Seder, you need a note. If you're not there, I will talk to you about it. Whereas, no, just to get you out of yeshiva doesn't mean you don't learn. Somebody's got to be in charge, and if it's not the Rav, who's it going to be? So I told him, I said, it's a good thing I have this thing, but had I seen you the next night, I would have asked you where you were, and you would have told me you were in the office. Now I know, you weren't in the office. You were shopping for ties, and the one you picked out was lousy. So, and the guy, what is the guy going to say? He can't deny it. Incredible, incredible waste of time. It'll kill you. You work hard for a living. You have an hour to learn. You have 2 hours to learn. You know how much time is taken away in the office? The guys, the productivity in the offices is down to like 20%. It was never that high. But now it's not the coffee machine. They sit there and they're constantly, that's why all the offices in America has nothing to do with Jews, nothing to do with from people. All the offices are putting very tight controls because they can't make any money. Everybody's surfing all day. It's insane. This is the introduction of what you're going to hear on the CD. Some other horror stories, which I'm not going to go into now, but I will say, ain bayat ashein sham meis. There is nobody who can claim they are exempt and they will not be affected by this. And until now, and you should know, I don't want to be the one who's claiming we should cave in. You should not have it, you should get rid of it. Recently in Eretz Yisrael, the Shiva took a very strong stand, and they're pushing it. In America, somehow, we're not nearly as successful in this. So we have to deal with the reality at the same time. We have to train our young boys and girls that if it's something they don't need, they should really not use it, and kids should really not be near the computer at all. I assumed you have codes on your computer that the kids can't just go on whenever they want. But even with the codes, the kids figure them out, and they see where the mother goes on, the father goes on, and then they figure it out. You need a backup of a backup of a backup. I have, if you're invited to my house in Muncie, I have internet in my house. There are various reasons why I need it, and I have it, and it's heavily used for the 3 or 4 sites I use out of the 5 billion. You look under my desk, I have more wires there than the Apollo launch, by far. I have like 4 filters on my system and like 2 accountability programs. I'm not taking any chances. And with that, I don't allow my kids ever on the internet. There's no reason why my teenager should be on the internet. And if there is, and there's something specific, somebody's going to be there. That's with my filter. There's no reason why we should give up this fight, and we can't give up the fight. The value of our own ruchnius and our children is just... This is not something that will do a little damage. This will ruin people. This will ruin families. This will ruin marriages. Kids will go off the derech. And none of this is an exaggeration. If Rabbi Reisner, you were at the Gittin convention this past year? Okay, I wasn't there, but they had a long discussion about this. And the statistics out there are absolutely horrible and stunning. One more thing, and this is not very popular. People complain to me that they try their best to insulate their house, and they put in filters, and they put in accountability programs, and did all the right things. And then their son or daughter went over to their friend's house, and they didn't get with the program yet. It goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, that your second job after you secure your house is to make sure at all times where your child is and who your child is visiting. The fact that you're in Atlanta, it does not exempt you. And some people say, when I say this out of town, they say, well, out of town, not the same as Brooklyn. I don't have such a selection. If you don't have such a selection, I see many fine Bene Terry here, many fine, wonderful families who want the best for their children. There's no reason why we can't demand the best. It does nothing if you plug all the holes in the dike in your house and then they go to somebody else's house to watch all the fun. It's not going to do anything for anybody. And people get very uptight about that. I don't want to insult anybody. And people are going to be annoyed at me. If you have standards, you have to stick to them. If somebody gets annoyed, it's not your problem. You say it nicely, you explain yourself, you try your best. We have to create an environment where anybody in an Orthodox community, whatever their level of observance is, anybody in an Orthodox community who has a home or an office without a filter and an accountability program is outside the pale. There has to be a peer pressure created, and communities out of town can do it better because they're more unified. There aren't that many shuls, there aren't that many rabbanim. I got a call from Milwaukee a few weeks ago. They asked me to send them a couple hundred of the Danger CDs. And Michal Twersky is running the whole show. He's going to make it the law of the land. You want to belong to this community, this is what you got to do. This is not something we can be lenient with and say, well, you know, it's not such a serious thing. This is the fight of the generation, and it's getting worse and worse. You can't buy an iPod today. The kids want iPods. You can't buy an iPod without an internet connection. So a kid called me. I was in the airport in Atlanta. A kid called me from Flatbush. Never, doesn't have a father. So his mother said, we're going to ask the Rav. Put me on the phone with the kid. And the kid said, I want an iPod. Can I have one? I said, you know, they have internet connection. So he said, what's wrong with that? I said, it's not good for you. It can get you in big trouble. He tells me, I can't get an old one. I said, I know of a store you can, and I sent them there. And then he said, but all my friends have the new one. So then all the parents have to have their head examined. They just don't know what's going on in the world. So to get a kid an iPod is like getting a BlackBerry with an internet connection. So then you haven't solved anything. This is basic. There's nothing, you don't have to be super firm, you don't have to be yeshivish for this. This is basic, basic protection. I will end with one short idea. There's a very famous Gemara in Brochus that talks about Chana, who didn't have children. And she was davening to Hashem for a long, long time for a child. She finally had a child, the young Shmuel, later to become Shmuel the prophet, Shmuel and Abi. And she made a promise that when Shmuel is of age, when he's weaned, she's going to bring him to the temple and he's going to be dedicated to God. After she finished nursing him, she made good on her promise. She brings him, and the Kohen Gadol there is on duty, and Eli HaKohen. And the way the Gemara explains the series of psukim, Shmuel was standing there with his mother. They brought animals to bring a sacrifice. And they were standing there, and there weren't too many kohenim around, so they were waiting for a kohen to come start the process. And the young Shmuel Novi, who was a few years old, knew how to learn quite well, and he said, why do you need a kohen? You could do the Shechita Bazar. Don't need a kohen, just get anybody to do, you get a regular Yisrael to do the slaughtering, and then the kohen will take over from there. They told him that's a very nice insight, but you're going to the principal's office, says Eli HaKohen, because you're not allowed to paskin a halacha, you know, the sefer halacha in front of the rabbi who's in charge. And Eli HaKohen, the rabbi, is in charge. So they brought him there, and this is a severe offense because our whole tradition is based on the respect of the students of the rabbi to his rabbi, and Shmuel now is going to be the student of Eli HaKohen. And Eli HaKohen turns to Chana, the mother who waited decades for her child, and said, I'm very sorry, but your child's not going to survive because this is such a serious sin, I can't even do anything for him. She started crying hysterically. My child's not going to survive. My child, I daven for him so long. So Eli HaKohen was very moved, and he said, don't worry, I'm going to daven again. He's the one who gave her the blessing in the first place. She should have a child. I'll give you another bracha. I'll daven again, and you'll have a child who's better. Now, on one hand, okay, what Jewish mother's going to say, okay, I'll get a better one, so we'll trade him in. But that's not what Eli meant. Eli meant that I can't do anything for this child. I'm sorry, but don't worry, you will have another one, and he'll be a great leader in Israel. And she said, no, Anara Zez Falalti, I daven for this one. If you look at the commentator in the back, the Maharsha, he says, in essence, that she told Eli HaKohen, who was the leader of the generation, very respectfully, that you cannot possibly give me a blessing for a child who's going to be equal, let alone exceed, the greatness of this young child. How did she know? So basically, the explanation is, and this is very important for every Jewish mother to know, and the Jewish father should also daven for their children, and she told him that I know what I put into my davening for the last few decades. I know what I did every day, and I poured my heart out to Hashem. And I know what I put in, and this child is saturated with the holiness, the Kedusha, that I poured in, that everything I davened and I prayed and I prayed, and this is the result. I can't duplicate that again, and you certainly can't. Now, your blessing helped me, no doubt about it, but I know that the prayer, the tefillah of a parent, is what helps the child succeed. Only a parent can put in that level of tefillah, because a parent cares more than anybody else. And we all know this. What parent here doesn't daven for a child to succeed? It should be in every Shemoneh Esrei we have. What strikes me as very ironic is that I know parents do care, and they daven and they daven and they daven. The child should grow up to be a nice, firm individual, productive member of the community, and it should be a Talmid Chacham, and she should marry a Talmid Chacham. We want all the right things. And we're davening and davening, and we're sending them to the best yeshivas, and we want the best rabbeim. and we throw it all out the window with something as simple to fix as this. It's meaningless if we don't do concrete steps. And I will ask, I know we have a wonderful night ahead of us, two Choshev Rabbanim are going to speak, and I'm Lava Malka. Take the CD, if you listen to it tonight or tomorrow, as soon as you get inspired, or re-inspired, fix the computer on the spot. If you put the CD away and say, wow, that's very important, and wait the day, the Eitz HaRa will make sure that you forget. I have a guy calling me up, remember that speech you gave last summer, can you give me the list again? And I'm going to give them the list again, they're going to call me back in a year. It's going to be the same conversation. You have to do this right away. For anybody who's even a little computer savvy, it's a 5-minute download. Some programs are free, some cost $10 a month, well worth it for the insurance of your family. But you have to do it. You have to put it in. If you don't know how to do it, call. We have computer people here in the room. Who in the community is involved in computers? No one's going to raise their hand now. Okay, there we got one. Okay, you can volunteer to help out members of the community. Okay, they call these two hands over here. If you don't know how to figure out the download, call them. Get it done. It's a danger, a sakana, every single moment. And make sure you plug all the holes, the computer in the office, the computer at home. Make sure you block it at the source so the laptop isn't the problem. I know kids can figure out to feed a laptop computer wireless off of somebody else's computer. Make sure your neighbors do this as well. If your neighbor's not Jewish, you can try to explain it to him. If you can't, you have to at least respectfully ask him to close his port. They can lock their own thing and you can't feed off of somebody else. There's a way to do this. And make sure it's on the BlackBerry. You have to cover all the bases as if your life and the life of your family depends on it, because it does. And again, this is not an exaggeration. This is the unfortunate reality of today. And good people want to do the right thing. And Amir Hashem, if you do it, you'll get extra Siyat Hashmaya, and then you can start davening for your kids for all the right things. But if you don't do the basics of Hishtablus, of what you have to do, davening is not going to work. Let's hope we don't have to think about this in years to come, and let's hope we fix it up. And Amir Hashem will be able to see a tremendous amount of nachas from our children. Thank you for listening, and thank you for inviting me. A special thank you to Rabbi Friedman. It's a wonderful Shabbos. And for all those who organized the event, and I'm very inspired by what I see, and hopefully I'll get a report in New York that everybody fixed it overnight, and Atlanta is now off the radar in terms of any problems. Have a good vote.